Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Welcome to Loving the Skin You're In Radio. I'm your host, Andrea Amador, best known as the Juicy Woman. Today is October 3rd, 2013. As a certified empowerment coach, author, speaker, and body image self-esteem expert, and a curvy and confident woman, I'm here to share my expertise with you and teach you how to bust out of body shame so that you can love the skin you're in. Want to know more about how to change your thoughts and see what's coming next on this show? Just visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/thejuicywoman and click on like to join the group. You can also get tons and tons of body love and tips and more by following me on Twitter as well at thejuicywoman. And if you missed any of the episodes of this show, you can catch all the archived audios at blogtalkradio.com/the-juicy-woman. Also, for those of you who have asked about coaching with me, you can check out my group coaching support membership program called the Curvy and Confident Coaching Club. For more information on that and other things that are coming up, visit my Facebook page at thejuicywoman.com. I want to remind you that this is a live call-in show, so I really want to encourage you to have a conversation with me and participate in the program. You can either do that by asking your questions using the chat or calling in. Grab your pencils. My call-in number is 760-888-5736. Today, we're talking about if our bodies can get addicted to negative emotions and what would that mean if it happens to you. So let me ask you, do you find yourself easily getting depressed or angry or scared, sad, caught up in a wave of feeling the same negative emotions over and over again? Gosh, you know, most people will do anything to avoid feeling bad. But all those temporary quick fix feel-good band-aids like eating or drinking, pill popping, it just doesn't work for long. Because what happens is the emotion keeps coming back stronger than ever. That's what we'll be talking about with our guest tonight. Oh, Stacy is fabulous. She's a gem. This is the second time that she's here as a guest on the show. She is a sports performance pioneer and psychotherapist who works with professional athletes. What she does is she helps them to blow past their fears and bust through mental blocks. Tonight, she'll be teaching you a simple do-it-yourself stress relief technique called emotional freedom technique that's guaranteed to turn your blocks into breakthroughs. Stacy has been pioneering the use of EFT with professional and amateur athletes to release mental, emotional, physical, and mechanical blocks on the cellular level since 2003. She's recognized as a leading expert and innovator in the use of EFT with sports performance. Most notably, she has pioneered the application of EFT with injury and surgery recovery, range of motion, soreness, and sports-related mechanical changes. Stacy is the author of nine breakthrough performance for sports manuals, four ebooks for non-athletes, and the co-author of the best-selling book, Freedom at Your Fingertips. You can see all her products at www.breakthroughperformance.net. I am so excited to have Stacy here with us. Stacy, welcome. I'm so happy you're here.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited to be back to talk about this.
So am I. This is such an important topic because what's going on in the news, it's just showing that so many people are hitting their breaking point in terms of despair, and there's so much anxiety and fear and sadness and pain that's going on. It's just unbelievable. Is this connected?
True. Mm-hmm. Very true, yeah. I think it's at an all-time high in some respects, which is an opportunity for a breakthrough. That's the beauty of it. That's how I see it, is an opportunity for a breakthrough.
Yes, yes. So you're saying that it is connected. These heights of events are connected with these emotional addictions.
Oh, well, I think that we happen to be in a time when there are just when we're moving from the head to the heart, and we're having to live more authentic heart-centered lives. And so for those of us who've been doing that for a while and who've been actively working on that, it's not such a big shift. But I think that there are a lot of people right now that it's a very big shift for them to learn to live that way. And it's really rocking their world. And they don't really know what to do or how to cope, how to handle it. So I think that is going on in addition to what we're going to talk about.
But what I'm noticing is this this trend of violence that I have never seen at this level.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I think that's related to the antidepressants that people are taking, to the medication they're on.
Oh, my gosh, we have to talk more about it.
Specifically to antidepressants.
Oh, say more about
that. If you Google a list of antidepressants, and you look at each medication, and you look at the side effects, you will see the behavior we're seeing exhibited in society now.
Actually, I was reading an article by the late Dr. Candace Pert, where she was talking about the medications that are being prescribed to people for antidepressants, that it is creating that there was a link, that she was finding links, that the scientists were finding links between that and the teenagers who were going out and purchasing guns and doing these horrible things like, you know, shooting people, Columbine.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes, there's a very direct correlation. I'll tell you who has been a pioneer in that research since the 90s is a woman named Ann Blake Tracy. Ann Blake and then dash Tracy. And if you Google her and go to her website, oh, my goodness, you'll have your eyes wide open about what's really going on with what the antidepressants do and just how dangerous they are and how difficult it is to get off of them and how you have to really do it in a very certain way so that you don't end up dead. You can't just stop taking them abruptly. It has to be very methodical. Some of them are nearly impossible to get off of. So one of the resources she offers is, I think it's a CD or something like that, that guides people through that process. But her website is a wealth of information.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I'd recommend anybody go over there and take a look because she's talking about all the stories that are out there and the young shooters and the young things happening, the bizarre crimes, people doing the most bizarre things that no one in their right mind would ever do, and they are on antidepressants.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's truly criminal, in my opinion. What's happening, the doctors are putting people on them like they were candy.
Now, what was it that started you along this path and trajectory of wanting to find out more about the emotions and how we have a tendency towards feeling the same emotions and what that is, what's happening in our body with that?
Well, let's see. I didn't actually look up what year I went to this workshop. Oh, let's say it was 2006, 2007. I actually went to two of Dr. Joe Dispenza's workshops. And Dr. Joe Dispenza is actually a chiropractor, but he's done, I think he has a lot of other degrees after his name and other titles after his name. He's done a tremendous amount of research on the brain. And in fact, when I saw him, he was in the process of writing his first book, which was published maybe a year or so after I saw him, called Evolve Your Brain, if anybody's interested in reading that. And then he's written another book since, and I can't tell you the name of it. I haven't read that yet. But I went to his first workshop. As I said, I've been to two. And he's just a brilliant man and a wonderful human being. And one of the things that he talked about was the fact that our cell receptors become addicted to a negative emotion. And he described the process of this and what happens. And I was so stunned when I heard it that this very big light bulb went on, and I had this realization, oh, my gosh. The people who are tapping on, let's say the addiction is anxiety, and I'll explain it on the cellular level in a couple minutes. But let's say your addiction is to anxiety. So maybe you feel anxious all the time, or you have this low-level anxiety, or you have little peaks and valleys. You could have high anxiety, and then it'll drop down and maybe be low or go away. But then it'll spike and be high again. But if we're really looking for what would be the consistent negative emotion that you experience over and over and over again. And so I had this realization. I called it worry. Really was anxiety, but I said, well, gee, I really worry all the time. Worry is actually a function of the mind, but when I worry, it does produce a chemical, a negative emotional chemical. So what happens is that, think of your body, it's just, I call it diabolical, because your body is the drug manufacturer. Mm-hmm. It's the middleman that sells the drugs, and it's the drug user, all combined into one. You don't have to get up and go anywhere. You can just sit there and have a thought, and it triggers it, and this process happens. So what happens is, we'll take the anxiety. So you could be feeling really, really great, and out of the blue, all of a sudden you'll think, oh, my God, where did that anxiety come from? What's going on? What happens is, because your cell receptors have become addicted to this chemical that we're calling anxiety, they're used to having their fix, just like a drug addict would have his fix of heroin or cocaine on some kind of timely basis. And when your cell receptors need that chemical of anxiety, they literally send an impulse up your spine that fires off neural nets of thought in your brain, that when you have that thought, boom, automatically with that is released that chemical of anxiety. Now that anxiety floods your body and it docks onto those cell receptors, and they get their fix that they're looking for, and you're left saying, what the heck just happened? I was feeling great 30 seconds ago, and now I feel horrible. And we go through this process 24/7. And for some people, it happens, it could happen, 100 times an hour. For somebody else, it could happen once an hour. So everybody's body is different in terms of the timed hits that it gets, the where it fulfills its craving. But it's going on in everybody, would be a safe thing to say. Everyone, almost everyone, has a negative emotional addiction. And so when I had this huge realization of what he was saying, at using EFT, the tapping work and the tapping technique, I also, with that, had this realization that if people are spending time tapping on their negative emotional addiction, they're really wasting their time, because you'll be tapping to the day you die. Your mind, body will always find something to be upset about to give itself that fix of anxiety. So I thought to myself, gosh, I wonder what would happen if I started tapping to interrupt the addiction to the worry itself, to the anxiety itself, and wean my cell receptors off of the chemical of anxiety. And so I started to experiment with it myself. And every time I started to worry, again, a function of the mind, but it produced a chemical, I would stop and I would tap really quickly. And I would just acknowledge, you know, every cell receptor in my body is addicted to this worry. Every cell receptor in my body is addicted to this worry. And I would just go through the tapping points a couple times, and it would pass just like that. And the next time I was aware of it, and that could be in 15 minutes, it could be in 2 hours. It didn't matter. I would stop, and I would tap through that just a couple times. And what I realized, Andrea, is that I could wean my cell receptors off of that chemical addiction to anxiety. And this is something we can talk about on down the road, but it isn't something that you can't look at it as a permanent way. It's kind of like, you know, a drug addict or an alcoholic always knows that they have a drug of choice.
Yes.
So my body's drug of choice will always be that anxiety. And all I can do is increase the times in between my body's fix of anxiety. And if I become aware that it's increased again, I just start tapping. And I just use my process, and then it settles back down, and it, you know, creates days, weeks without that. So I was very excited when I discovered this, because Dr. Joe's remedy for this, his answer to this, was to mentally work your way out of it, to just mentally change your thoughts. Well, here's the thing. I consider Dr. Joe Dispenza a mental giant, and I truly mean that. The man is truly amazing. He healed his own body from a very serious injury that he had. They wanted to do surgery. He probably never, he never would have walked again, but he never, ever would have been the same, ever. He would not have had a full productive life. And he used the power of his mind to literally heal his body. And since then, he's had a lot of other training that's improved and increased that. But that's not the average person. I know I don't have that ability or that capability. I have that capability. I just don't feel I have that ability that he has. And I think most people don't. Most people are not mental giants. So I thought, well, he can tell them to mentally work their way out, but doing it is a whole other thing. So let me experiment with this. So I used myself first, and then when it worked, I started to share it with my clients. And it started to work for them as well. So it's been a really exciting process.
Yes. I'm very excited to share that when you had first told me about this after the Fear of Failure episode that you came in on, we were talking about this. You had mentioned about the addiction to emotions, and I had said to you that, wow, you know, many times I kind of go right to fear. It's just like an automatic thing. And you had offered me the protocol that that you've shared before, and that I would love for you to share again this evening with the listeners. And I have to tell you, it has changed my life because of just what you said. It reduces the, in NLP, there's a term, DIF, duration, intensity, and frequency.
Yes.
The duration of the period of time that I would be in fear mode, the intensity, how high I could go on a scale of 0 to 100 or 1,000, and the frequency.
Yes.
It completely changed it. And then I started getting really excited about it and thought, okay, well, how can I take this and apply it in ways that are more specific to situations that that I want to refine in my life? And one of them that I wanted to work on was being a little bit more intimate with my husband, because I have a tendency still to being a little fearful around certain types of touching. Back from the sexual abuse days, still triggers pretty easily. And like you had mentioned, where I was using the technique of just tapping each time something would come up, it was like this bottomless barrel of endlessness, feeling like I will never, ever, ever get over this.
And when you started to, when you taught me this and when you shared this protocol with me, it completely changed the way that I responded to touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to tell you, I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
I am so pleased to hear that, because you're right. It would have been a bottomless, ongoing thing you would have tapped on for the rest of your life, because you weren't addressing the right thing. I wasn't addressing the right thing when I discovered this. So you're absolutely right. It would be endless and bottomless, because your body has got to have its fix, and it will find a way to create that. And so you're just chasing your tail all the time.
Exactly. And what I notice is during the times when I'll miss, because I was doing it two times a day, sometimes three times a day, when I would miss it, I could actually feel my body kind of starting to gear up, like, okay, we're going to get really crazy now. So there was that intimate awareness that, oh, okay, there's like a beast that's ready to pop up. So
kind of like
cells
are saying, oh, she's left us to our own devices again. And
oh, it's perfect. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just exactly
I tell you,
like
that's why I call it diabolical. It's really genius on the cellular level, if you think about it. It's truly genius.
So it was so freedom-enhancing to realize that, oh, okay, it's starting to pop up again, so let me just do a little bit more of the interruption again. Let me just do more tapping to interrupt the I call it freak out, but to interrupt the addiction, the cycle of the addiction.
Yes, exactly.
And it's changed my life.
Yes, I'm so glad. And let me say right now, let's be really clear with people that we're not talking about never feeling these emotions.
Right.
You know, the key ones that I've observed people have as an addiction would be anxiety, fear, guilt, sadness, anger. Those would be the key ones. Embarrassment could be one. So we're not saying, it's not about not ever having those emotions, because every single emotion serves a purpose. But what we want is to have access to it when we need it. So if you're fearful all the time, then when you really need to pay attention to something that your body's trying to warn you about, it's kind of like the little boy who cried wolf. If you're crying wolf all the time, and everything's that feels the same level of intensity in terms of fear, you can't really access your intuition or your body's messages when you need them. If you're feeling angry all the time because you're addicted to anger, and anger is your normal response, you can't really access anger when you need it for something or when it needs to come through you to give you a message of some kind. So this isn't any kind of slam about negative emotions, because we call them negative emotions. The reason I identify them that way is that when they accumulate in your cell receptors, and it's this constant kind of flow of those negative emotions, they end up doing damage to the cells. They are not life-enhancing, and they are not enhancing for our immune system in any way, shape, or form, or our organs or any other functions of our body. So that's why I refer to them as negative emotions. In and of themselves, if you just experience the pure anger and you don't put a story with it, and it has that 90-second cycle through the body, it releases, docks onto the cell receptors, docks off of the cell receptors, and then exits your waste system, there's no problem at all. And that's what these emotional chemicals are really designed to do. So I just want to be really clear about that, that it isn't that you will never feel a little anxiety again or fear again. You want to have access to those emotions. You may need that fear. You know, if you're walking in a parking garage and something isn't right, you better have access to that fear so that you can take the right action.
Wow. give us the skinny on how this is working in the body. What is going on?
Well, let me tell you that I found the most amazing thing. So here, you know, here I had the information from Dr. Joe and you know, he actually in his book, when I read Evolve Your Brain, because his workshop was brilliant and he really explained everything in a way that was so understandable. And I read his book and, oh my goodness, he went in to the cellular level detail of what happens. It was so complex. It was mind-boggling. I couldn't tell you that piece of it if my life depended on it.
Wow.
So I just stuck with the easy way of explaining it. But then just recently, funny enough, I was reading, I got two Kindle books written by a quantum physicist. And I love it because he's explaining the law of attraction using quantum physics. And he is a quantum physicist. He is a true hardcore scientist. And in this, in the, one of the books that he wrote, funny enough, here is a simple description of what exactly happens. So here's what he says. Your hypothalamus produces unique amino acids associated with the emotions you experience, which are ingested by your cells. So in other words, every single emotion has these unique amino acids. That's what I call the chemicals of the emotion. They're actually amino
right.
acids. And he said they're ingested by your cells. They actually dock onto cell receptors. That's what happens, and they are ingested by your cells. Your cells actually become addicted to the amino acids to which they are most often exposed, and begin to tell your hypothalamus to produce them. Since your hypothalamus cannot produce the amino acids your cells are asking for without experiencing the emotion associated with them, it, meaning your hypothalamus, in turn, tells you to experience the emotions necessary to produce the amino acid. On a daily basis, you are experiencing emotions for the sole reason that your cells are asking for the amino acids your brain produces when you feel those emotions. That's the addiction.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm just so blown away. It sounds to me like this explains people who would tend to gravitate toward having a lot of drama in their life.
Completely.
Or depression.
Completely. And seek it out unconsciously. Unconsciously they'll seek it out in order for their body to get their fix. They might have an awareness, Andrea, like you might say to somebody, boy, you sure have a lot of drama in your life. And they might say, yeah, you're right, I really do. I notice that. So it's not that they're oblivious to that, but they wouldn't understand the level of drama that they keep creating or why they keep creating it or how they keep creating it. Because it's just this unconscious thing that happens. Dr. Joe was actually the example he gave was, he said, you know, you could decide, I'm not going to have any chocolate cake. That's it. I'm done with chocolate cake. And he said, you know, you go on your merry way, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there, and all you can think about is chocolate cake. That's it.
Yes.
You can't anything else but chocolate cake. Of course, we can all relate to that one, right?
So, yes.
And the next thing you know, you've got chocolate cake in your mouth. And he said what happened was the cell receptors are craving their fix of that emotion. They send an impulse up your spine that fires off those neural nets of thought, and boom, before you even know what happened, you're in the behavior. Here come the thoughts, and you're in the behavior, and the body has its fix. And like I say, you're miserable. You're going, oh, no, what the heck did I just do? But your cells go, oh, yeah, we got our fix. We got it. And this is going on all.
I just got a chill. I was just thinking that if somebody was using these prescription antidepressants, as you said, and that they are experiencing this overwhelming urge that is pushing them to do something to act out their despair.
Yes.
That's what's going on.
That's a really good point. I had not thought of that. But sure, their cell receptors could, in the process of taking these drugs, become addicted to a different set of emotions, like the anger, let's say. Let's take anger, for example. Yeah,
wow.
It's interesting.
Oh, my gosh, this is mind-blowing to me.
Yes.
So if you drew the connection between the people who are taking these antidepressants and not make these types of weapons available to them, that's the first thing that could be done to shift the dynamic that's going on with the violence.
Well, the problem is, and you know, it's interesting because Anne Blake Tracy has tried to figure out how many people are on antidepressants in this country. The drug companies won't release those numbers, but it's a staggering number. Millions of people, yeah. I think she said, if I'm right, maybe 43 million, maybe more than that. It's, Andrea, it's a lot. It's just epidemic proportion, in my opinion. You know, but the real question is, what can just an average normal person do to wean their cell receptors off the chemical their body's addicted to? That's what I deal with. That's what I decided to create to see what could happen. Because again, I just was at a lack, thinking, well, I'm not a mental giant. I can't do it mentally. I'm going to try tapping and see if I can tap on weaning my cells off, interrupt the addiction process, and wean my cell receptors off that emotional chemical, and let me just see what happens. And I had success.
Wow.
So what I realized, I did two things. The first thing I did, I didn't really develop a protocol right away. The first thing I did is that, like I said earlier, every time I became aware of worrying, I stopped and I tapped really quickly. I didn't go into a big deal. I just tapped each point and said one simple sentence.
Now,
and if I still felt that worry or anxiety, I'd tap through one more time, just repeating the same thing. And, we're talking a matter of, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds of tapping.
Okay, so for those people who aren't yet familiar with tapping, what would be something that you would recommend to them?
Ah, okay. Well, let's see. They could, are you talking about resources like Nick Ortner's book, The Tapping Solution?
Oh, no. Just in terms of what to physically do in the moment.
Oh, I see. The physical process itself. I understand. Okay, yes. Okay, so tapping, it's called emotional freedom techniques, and we just often call it tapping, is kind of like a do-it-yourself acupuncture. That would be the very best way to describe it. There are no needles involved, and you use your own fingertips, and you tap on end acupuncture points. And what you're doing as you do this is having a conversation with your body, and your body will complete the processing of those chemicals that are sitting in the cell receptors. Now, in addition to the ones you're addicted to, there are all of the negative, what we call the emotions, the negative emotions. Again, we're looking at the ones that do damage to the body.
Mm-hmm.
They're chemicals, and they're sitting in your cell receptors. So if, for example, if you felt frustrated today, that frustration is a chemical, and it sits in those cell receptors, and a certain amount of it's processed out on its own and through other ways, exercise, dreaming, talking about it. Those are usually three of the key ways. But otherwise, that frustration can just remain there. And when the cells shrink up and die and they divide, they'll make more cell receptors for frustration and less cell receptors for nutrients, proteins, vitamins, and minerals. So tapping is a way to keep those cell receptors freed up from negative emotions and those negative chemicals on a daily basis. And it's a do-it-yourself technique. You use your own fingertips. And we can go through the points so people know what to do. The first point is called the karate chop point, and it's the side of the hand. You can tap the right or the left side of your hand. And think if you were to karate chop through a bunch of boards, that's the part of your hand you'd chop with. And so you want to take four fingers from one hand and tap on that karate chop fleshy part of the side of your hand on the other hand. And you want to tap hard enough that you can feel it, but not so hard that you hurt yourself. Okay? And then the next point is called the eyebrow point. And it's, if you have your hands free, you can use both hands. I take my index and middle fingers, and I tap right where my eyebrows begin, and it's to the right and the left of the bridge of your nose. You don't want to be up on your forehead. You want to be right where the hair of your eyebrows begin, on the inside there. And then the next point, so that point is called the eyebrow point. The next point is called the side of the eye, and it's just literally to the sides of your eyes. Again, if you can use both hands, that's great. And it's on the bone.
Should they remove the glasses?
Yes, they should remove glasses. Yeah, thank you for saying that. I forget that. I don't wear glasses, so yes, you're right. You will need to take your glasses off. It's more comfortable. So, and it is right where your what's that called, Andrew? The arm of the eyeglass.
The frame?
The frame, yeah, the arm. It's where the arm, you know, where you'd put that over your ear. It's where that would
the wire
right out.
Or mm-hmm.
Yes, and so it's out from the crease of your eye. If you were to smile and you feel the crease of your eyes, you know, it's on the bone right there on the side of your eye. Now, the next point is under your eye. It's on the bone, dead center, right directly under your eyes. And again, if you can use two hands, if you've got hands free, that's great. If not, just use one hand for each of those points. Now we're going to switch to one hand, and you're going to move to under your nose, and it's right in the middle between the bottom of your nose and the top of your lip. And that's under the nose point. There are real technical names to these points, you know. And then the next point is chin point, and that's you're going to tap in the middle where your chin indents. So it's really not on the bottom of your chin, but just in the middle there, you know, where it kind of creases. Okay. Now, the next point is called the collarbone point, and there's a lot of confusion about where this point actually is. I see a lot of people tapping on the wrong point. If you push on your collarbone where it makes that indentation, it's a U-shape.
Yes.
The point, if you're pushing in on that, the point is if you take your thumb and your middle finger, I push on it with my index finger, and then I put my thumb next to it and my middle finger on the other side of my index finger, the points are actually where your thumb and your middle finger are. And so it's a kind of, for on me, it's real narrow. And different people have wider collarbones where that U-shape is. But the easiest thing I found to do is make a fist and with your knuckles tap up on top of that where that U-shape is, and you'll get one side of it or the other side.
Oh, that's easy.
Okay, good. Yes, so that's collarbone point. And then there's under your arm. That's the underarm point. Now, under your arm, it's 4 inches down. And for guys, if we have any guys listening, I'm not sure, but it's in line with your nipple. On gals, the easiest way is it's on where your bra strap is there as your bra comes around. But it's a lymph node that drains into your breast. So if you poke around there about 4 inches under your arm, on the
tender
side there, you'll feel it. It's usually very tender. And once you find that spot, just one, the right or the left side, it doesn't matter which side. Once you find it, use four fingers to tap on it, and then you don't have to poke around for it again. You'll be on it each time. And then the last point that I use is I tap the inside of the wrist together, wrist to wrist. We used to tap four finger points. We had a thumb, index, middle, and little finger. And then that was dropped quite a while ago. And I tap wrist to wrist because it gets all the meridians that are running down the arms into the hands. So I tap where my pulse points are, or where you'd have a watch band so you can take your watch off. And just tap the inside of your wrist together, wrist against wrist. And those are the points.
Now, the thing that I'm thinking about is what happens if in the moment you're in a public place and you don't want to go through all this? Is there some quick method or some point that you could touch in an inconspicuous way that won't draw attention?
Yes, there is, definitely. One of these points is going to feel better to you than any other, and that's called your point. Mine happens to be under the eyes. That's the one that feels really good to me. So if I'm in a hurry or I want a shortcut, I could just tap under my eye on one side. If that is even too conspicuous, if you're uncomfortable with that, you could just tap your karate chop point on the side of your leg, or if you're sitting down on the side of your chair, you could tap it.
Can you get equal effectiveness if you just touch the area?
I haven't found that to be, but it doesn't mean it can't be.
Okay.
I personally haven't found that to be for me.
Okay. So then
you can also
really
mentally tap. You can visualize tapping.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And have it be a as well. So maybe let's say you're in a meeting and all of a sudden you realize you're feeling anxious.
Yeah.
You could start tapping. In this case, you would start at the karate chop point, and then you just repeat the phrase I'm going to give you for that. And then just imagine you're tapping your karate chop point. Imagine you're tapping eyebrow, side eye, under nose, chin, collarbone, underarm, and inside of the wrist together. And your body will experience it as if you were physically tapping it. It's always better to physically tap if you can. But if you can't, you can visualize it, and you'll have a good result.
Wow.
I want to say that just so people know, when you tap, and again, this is a very specific thing that we're tapping for and a very, very narrow specific subject. But in case you've never tapped before, I like to let people know what they may feel as their body releases these chemicals. So I kind of give people a shopping list, you know, I say, you know, you may experience some of them, all of them, none of them. Some are a little more dramatic than others, but it could be laughing, crying, yawning, itching, heat coming off your body, cold coming off your body, tingling in your hands and feet or other parts of your body. You could feel really relaxed or really energized, really fatigued. The room might appear brighter or colors more vivid. So those are some of the things you can experience while you're tapping, because remember, as you're tapping, you're having this conversation with your body, and you're literally releasing these emotional chemicals. They'll dump out of those cells into your waste system, and then you'll just pee them out.
Wow.
So what I'm recommending to people, the first place to start, and I am in the process of working on an ebook with this information that will have all of the protocols in them for the major addictions, and then I'll also create a template so that people can fill in the blank with, you know, there might be an emotional addiction I haven't named that they feel like this is the emotion that keeps coming up for me over and over again. So there would be a blank template, and they can just fill that in. And I have people tap that written protocol every morning and every night. But the most important thing that you can do, this is more important than anything, throughout the day, whenever you feel your emotional addiction, and let's take anxiety as an example. You would tap your karate chop point and say, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. And then you move to your eyebrow points and you say, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. And then the sides of your eye, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. And under the eyes, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. Under your nose, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. On your chin, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. On your collarbone, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. Under your arm, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. And wrist together, every cell receptor in my body is craving this anxiety. And then you stop and you just see how you feel, see if that anxiety has passed. And if it hasn't, you just go through the exact same thing one more time. Now, if anxiety is not your body's drug of choice, fill in the blank with whatever is. So every cell receptor in my body is craving this anger. Every cell receptor in my body is craving this anger. Or every cell receptor in my body is craving this fear. Or every cell receptor in my body is craving this guilt. Whatever your body's drug of choice is, that's what you're gonna fill in the blank with and tap. And here's the thing I want to say. Sometimes our mind will play really funny tricks. I've noticed this particularly with the people that have an addiction to anger. So they'll be doing it, weaning their cells off of this. And it took me a little while to catch on to it, but now I'm on to them, Andrea. I would say to them, well, how, we'd have a week in between sessions, and then I'd check in with them, and I'd say, well, how are you doing with tapping to interrupt that addiction to anger? Oh, pretty good. I haven't really felt angry. I've been good. Oh, okay. And then we'd talk more, and I would realize, oh, they felt really frustrated all week, but they didn't see frustration as a version of anger.
Oh, yes.
So what I started to say to them was, if you feel angry, irritated, frustrated, mildly upset, any version or verbiage of anger, you stop and tap. But you see how what I mean? The mindset, oh, I'm not angry. That's not the same. That's not the same at all. Well, yeah, your body's going to tell you that it wants its fix. It's going to trick you. The same with, you could say that with fear. Well, I really wasn't afraid. You could say I just had some anxiety about it. It doesn't matter. If you had anything, even remotely, that felt like that fear, you want to tap to interrupt it.
What about people who find themselves getting into these places where they feel angry, but that's a completely different and 180-degree turn from their natural personality? What would you say about that? Where does that type of anger come from?
So are you meaning that, are you saying that this is their cellular addiction? Is that what you're wondering?
I don't think so. I'm more wondering that if somebody generally is not an angry type person and they find themselves very angry, would they look to perhaps changes in diet where the source might be, or environment?
I see. Okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, you know, looking at nutrition and diet, food sensitivities would always be something good. I think that when people, one of the uses of anger, one of the purposes of anger is to alert us that we need to take action. So I think if somebody's finding themselves angry about a particular issue or with a particular person over and over again, the question I would look at is, well, what action do I need to take? What do I need to do about this?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because to me, the anger is signaling that something needs to change. Okay, what is it I need to do? So let's say it's something big like, well, I'm angry with the government. Well, okay, what do you need to do to change that? Where can you get involved that would make a change? Because just being angry about the government only damages your body. It doesn't hurt the government.
Right. Right.
But that anger is definitely doing damage to your body. So what do you need to do? Do you need to get involved in politics at the local level? Do you need to sit down and write letters to your congressmen and senators? Do you need to call the White House hotline. I don't know. You know, it'll be different for everyone, but I believe anger can be a call to action. If you're angry with someone, maybe you're one of your children, or you're angry with a relative or a really good friend, what is it you need to do to resolve this relationship or this situation? What action do you need to take that could make a difference in a positive way?
That's amazing. I work with women who struggle with body image issues, and despite the fact that I now understand and realize that feeling fat is not a feeling, it's so difficult for other people to believe that fat is not a valid feeling. So what would you say to the woman who says, I just feel fat all the time? How would you break that down for her in terms of finding and sourcing?
Oh, my gosh. tell me your discovery, because I'd like to hear this. What when you say fat isn't a... Yeah, tell me what you've discovered.
Oh, okay. Well, fat is not an emotion. There's no emotion called fat. What I've
learned, my gosh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I've learned
Of course. I feel fat. Oh, my gosh. Andrea, that's brilliant. I never thought about that. That is utterly earth-shaking to me. That's brilliant. I feel fat. Okay. I guess, I'm guessing what women are saying is, I don't feel confident. I don't feel attractive.
Right.
I don't feel sexy. I don't feel, you know, good about myself. So we could say that, I guess, again, those are kind of more abstract, because there isn't you don't really feel, would there be an emotion called lack of confidence? Not really. But there would be, we all know what that feels like, though.
My thought is what my
scared. I think scared and fearful in a way.
Oh,
yeah, rejection
okay.
or fearful I'm not attractive enough. I think that's more in the realm of fear.
Oh, that makes sense. So rejection is not one of the emotions, but it sources back to fear.
Rejection. I think I'm guessing it sources back to the fear, because this is why I think that. Biologically, we would be wired to be with people for survival. There was no way you could live on this planet alone. It wasn't possible. And I believe we're still hardwired for that. And so if we are rejected, it literally threatens our very survival. And that's terrifying.
My God.
So I am guessing that's what it's really all about. That's ultimately what it boils down to. Because, you know, if you think about it, well, I don't fit in, I don't look good, I'm not small enough, fill in the blank. We could fill in the blank with hundreds of things, right?
Yes.
I'm not pretty enough, my skin's not the right color, my hair is not the right color or style, the list is endless. But ultimately,
yes.
probably boils down to, if I am rejected, I'm alone, and how can I survive when I'm alone? And that is way beyond our conscious awareness. That would be in our reptilian brain, hardwired in there.
So are you saying that doing this tapping to break the connection, to interrupt the addiction, that will stop that type of defeatist thinking?
I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question. I'd like somebody to experiment with that. That would be wonderful.
I think if
fear is their addiction, their cellular addiction, their emotional addiction, I know that by tapping to interrupt it, they're going to have a better quality of life. They're going to have better quality health. Everything's going to be better.
Wow. This is exciting.
Because you're really cutting it off as its source. You're not buying into any story of any kind. you're just going right for the, okay, let's wean these cell receptors off this chemical. And by the way, I want to say a couple things so that people are really clear about this. There's no way to go cold turkey. So you can't say, well, I'm just going to make up my mind, I'm not going to feel fear anymore. Good luck with that. Your body will show you so quickly how not possible that is. It will make your head spin. You think you were craving and addicted to fear before? Just wait. It'll take you for the ride of your life so fast. So this isn't about getting into an adversarial relationship with your body. It's simply about having a very gentle, loving understanding that when that fear arises, or that anger or guilt or whatever that addiction is, you just simply recognize it and say, oh, okay, let me tap. I'm going to help my body wean myself off of this emotion. That's all. And you don't criticize it or judge it, or you just say, okay, let's just wean ourselves off. And then understand it's a process and that it's never going to fully go away. That's my own experience with this, and I see that in everyone. It's not going to fully go away. Just again, like I said, if someone's drug of choice is cocaine, that's always their drug of choice. Hanging out with their friends and who use cocaine and they go back to that life, they're going to be using cocaine before long. So let's say that you start tapping this to interrupt this, the phrase that I just gave you. And that you realize you have to do it 20 times a day, but you're willing to do it. You're committed to it. And you notice in 3 days, you all of a sudden you're doing it 15 times a day. And then within a week, you're doing it 5 times a day. And I don't know. This, again, how this pattern works is going to be different for everyone. And then in 3 weeks, oh, my gosh, you do it maybe once a day. And in 6 weeks, you're doing it every third day or every fourth day. You may be tempted to stop tapping at that point and say, wow, I've got this licked. This is gone. Yes. Because we love to think that way, don't we? Oh, it's gone. Yes. I don't ever have to do this again. Wrong.
Yes.
Wrong. Oh. Every time it comes up, again, if it's that addiction. So in other words, it's not a really it's not a healthy response of anxiety or anger or whatever the emotion would be. That you need to take action, then you keep tapping to interrupt it. You don't give up. You don't stop the process.
So this is
now, if it gets to the point where weeks go by or months go by and you're just sailing along, there's nothing to tap on. But as soon as it rears its head again, you want to start that process. You see, you don't ever take the position of, well, that's gone forever now.
So
because what will happen is gradually it'll creep back in.
Yeah.
And so the next thing you know, you'll be right back. It was.
Exactly, right back to it. So if you know that your tendency is to get be addicted to fear, and you're a model and you're going out on a shoot, and there's 50-50 chance of being rejected, it's a great thing to arm yourself by going to the ladies' room before you go into the casting. And do that. Take that 2 or 3 minutes of tapping and clear yourself and prepare for what, you know, whatever
you
could.
I haven't used it in that way where, I mean, yes, you would use the tapping to just tap on any nerves or, you know, anything like that. You definitely could.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you, let's say you were rejected for the shoot. Let's say you did the shoot, you're rejected.
Yeah.
Then if that anxiety or that fear arises, that's when you would definitely interrupt to tap that. It would interrupt the addiction. So that you can move on as quickly as possible because you are going to be rejected. That's the nature of modeling.
So you're saying that's better than drowning your sorrows in the bar that's downstairs?
Yeah, I think it is.
That's awesome.
Not only do you have the fear in your cell receptors or the whatever the addiction is, the emotional addiction, now you're going to have alcohol in your cell receptors
that's right.
In addition, which just will do overall more damage to your body.
My God.
So I'm really big in, let's try to minimize the damage to ourselves.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing that Dr. Candace Pert talked about in her book, Molecules of Emotion, which is they know for a fact from their research in the lab the cause of all disease is unprocessed emotion.
These emotional chemicals
are really harmful to ourselves. They break ourselves down.
And on that, Stacey, I'm going to have to close on this note. Everything, Stacey, breakthroughperformance.net, yes?
Yes.
And you're doing a workshop in St. Louis. What are the dates?
November 2nd and 3rd. It's on injury and surgery recovery.
Okay, excellent. Well, I will definitely be having something on my blog talking about that and promoting it for you. Thank you
so much
for coming back.
Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great night. Bye.
Bye.